जगत्पते स्वयं एवा मना आत्मानम् वेद त्वं पुरुषोत्तमा भूत भाव भूतेशा देव देव जगत्पते स्वयं एव मनात्मनम् वेद त्वं पुरुषोत्तमा भूत भावन भूतेशा देव देव जगत्पते. Okay. Swayameva Atmanatmanam Veta Tvam Purushottama Bhuta Bhavana Bhutesha Deva Deva Jagatpate. Okay, please repeat. Swayam, personally, Eva, certainly, Atmanam, sorry, Atmana, by yourself, Atmanam, yourself, Veta, no, Tvam, you, Purusha Uttama, O greatest of all persons, Bhuta Bhavana, O origin of everything, Bhuta Isha, O Lord of everything, Deva Deva, O Lord of all demigods, Jagatpate, O Lord of the entire universe. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. Indeed, you alone know yourself by your own internal potency. O Supreme Person, origin of all, Lord of all beings, God of gods, Lord of the universe. Please repeat. Indeed, you alone know yourself by your own internal potency. O Supreme Person, origin of all, Lord of all beings, God of gods, Lord of the universe. Purport, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord Krishna can be known by persons who are in a relationship with him through the discharge of devotional service, like Arjuna and his followers. Persons of demonic or atheistic mentality cannot know Krishna. Mental speculation that leads one away from the Supreme Lord is a serious sin, and one who does not know Krishna should not try to comment on Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the statement of Krishna, and since it is the science of Krishna, it should be understood from Krishna as Arjuna understood it. It should not be received from atheistic persons. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11, Vedanti tattata vidastatvam yagyagya avyayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabhyate. The Supreme Truth is realized in three aspects, as impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and at last as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So at the last stage of understanding the Absolute Truth, one comes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'll reread that. So at the last stage of understanding the Absolute Truth, one comes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A common man or even a liberated man who has realized impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma may not understand God's personality. Such men, therefore, may endeavor to understand the Supreme Person from the verses of Bhagavad Gita, which are being spoken by this person, Krishna. Sometimes the impersonalist accept Krishna as Bhagavan, or they accept his authority. Yet many liberated persons cannot understand Krishna as Purushottama, the Supreme Person. Therefore Arjuna addresses him as Purushottama. Yet one still may not understand that Krishna is the father of all living entities. Therefore Arjuna addresses him as Bhuta Bhavana. And if one comes to know him as the father of all living entities, still one may not know him as the Supreme Controller. Therefore he is addressed here as Bhuteshwara, the Supreme Controller of everyone. And even if one knows Krishna as the Supreme Controller of all living entities, still one may not know that he is the origin of the demigods. Therefore he is addressed herein as Devadeva, the worshipable God of all demigods. And even if one knows him as the worshipable God of all the demigods, one may not know that he is the supreme proprietor of everything. Therefore he is addressed as Jagatpati. Thus the truth about Krishna is established in this verse by the realization of Arjuna, and we should follow in the footsteps of Arjuna to understand Krishna as he is. So, mukam karochi vachalam phangam laite girim yat kripatam aham vande shri guru dinatarinam swayam eva evatmanam vita tvam purushottama Bhuta Bhavana Bhuteshu Deva Deva Jagatpate. Indeed, you alone know yourself by your own internal potency, O Supreme Person, origin of all, the Lord of all beings, God of gods, Lord of the universe. So Prabhupada, in the purport there, he explains that all these different names of Krishna are consecutive in meaning, one can say. So the first name there is Purushottama, O greatest of all persons. And then origin of Bhuta Bhavana, origin of everything. Bhuta Ishwara, O Lord of everything. Deva Deva, O Lord of all demigods, Jagatpate. So you can see that first Arjuna, and we can understand here that Arjuna is speaking in a great mood of ecstasy. He is fully realizing the Supreme Person. As we've discussed last week, the Chaturshloki is starting on verse 8. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravatite iti mat bhavajantimam bhuta bhavana samambita. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So one point from that sloka is that once you understand Krishna is the origin of everything, then the result is, by knowing it perfectly, Siddhanta, the wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service. So the result of knowing Krishna as the origin is that you enter into devotional service. Maksita matkata prana bodayanta parasparam katayantyastamam nityam tushyanticha rumanticha. The thoughts So that is Sambandha Gyan. Here, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So this is Abhideya, the practice. In the sloka before that, Krishna said, if you understand that I'm the source of everything, then you worship me. So then, in the next sloka, he's explaining what form that worship will take. The thoughts, their lives, and they feel great satisfaction from enlightening one of them to discussing Krishna. So that is discussion. That discussion of Krishna is the heart of Abhideya, the worship of Krishna. Devotees, they hear and chant and remember Krishna. They hear, they study Bhagavad philosophy, they chant Krishna's names and discuss, and smaranam. They always remember Krishna within the heart. Tesham eva nukampatam aham agyam tama. Nashyami anma bhavasto gyanadipena bhasvita. So the result of this bhajan, then Krishna explains the result. To show them special mercy, I dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So if you devote your life to Krishna, and you always chant and discuss Krishna, sorry, I missed a sloka there. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti bodhavakam didami bodhiyogam tam yenamam upiyanti te. So, the result of that devotional worship, shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam parasevanam, is to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, performing abhideya, the practice of devotion, I reciprocate, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. And then the number 11, to show them special mercy, I dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So that is the result. One becomes completely liberated from the material energy. Last week we discussed this. In the Vedanta Sutra there's also four khandhas. Sambandha, Gyan, knowledge of relationships, then Abhideya, Khanda, then discussion of Purushottama, of the Prayojan, the necessity, the goal, and then Mukta Khanda, which is discussion of the liberated condition. So Krishna here is giving those four things in a very compressed form. So the Vedanta Sutra, Sutra means Sutra, very compressed. Sutra. So, this is very important to understand this basic structure of bhakti, and then one can walk the path. But the fact is, as Krishna is saying here, that he enables the devotees, he reciprocates with their service. By their shravanam, kirtanam, hearing and chanting, remembrance, then Krishna enlightens that devotee. So we discussed last week how it's important to be aware and pay attention, or have one's ears open, one's heart open, to the reciprocation of Krishna. Because that is the eternal position of bhakti. One reciprocates with Krishna eternally. One, as Prabhupada explains in the introduction, one reciprocates through Dasya Bhav, servant mood, as friendship, Sakya Bhav, Vatsalya Bhav, parental, and conjugal ras. So Lord Chaitanya, there's a sloka in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chiribhav. Lord Chaitanya says that I have come to make the world dance with Charibhav. So this is the process to understand. And the first point is that Krishna is the source of everything given in this. And now that is very natural. So here is Arjuna's response to Krishna's explanation of his supreme position. Arjuna said, "You are the supreme personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. All the great sages such as Narada, Asita, Devala, Vyas confirm this truth about you, and now you yourself are declaring it to me." So of course there's three authorities in bhakti: Shastra, Sadhu, Parampara, Mahajan, and then one's own personal Shiksha and Diksha Gurus. So they correspond, the knowledge given, and it is advised in the Shastra, Uddhava Gita, and throughout Shastra, that one may have many Shiksha Gurus, one should only have one Diksha Guru, and one can take Shiksha from many places. So that Shiksha will confirm. If you hear the same thing from different persons, then you become confident that this is the general picture. So Sadhu, Parampara, Mahajan, they give the full understanding of the Shastra through their commentaries. And then one's personal guru and Shiksha guru, one can interact with that personality, ask questions, and get further understanding and confirmation in that way. So here is Arjuna's ecstatic confirmation. If we look more closely and we don't read this slokas as a kind of just in a dry way, but we have to like conjure up a vision of the battlefield. Krishna is instructing Arjuna, who was lamenting about the work he had to do fighting on the battlefield, but now, having understands Krishna's supreme position, these are ecstatic expressions of his realization. So realization of Krishna is ecstatic. Bhakti is divided into two: Vaidhi Bhakti, following rules and regulations, doing devotional practice and study in a regulated manner. Then Rag Bhakti should grow from within that. That means, Rag means attraction. So we follow rules and regulations and cultivate bhakti in a regulated manner. The result should be Rag, attraction to Krishna. As we're always quoting Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that if you have knowledge of Krishna, you will naturally become attracted to Krishna. And that attraction will turn to prem. So that is the second section of bhakti, bhava bhakti and prem bhakti. So that is bhava bhakti, bhava and prem. So bhava means ecstatic emotional attachment to Krishna. Ashakti turns to, which is attachment, turns to ecstatic attachment. So at that stage of bhava bhakti, which is full liberation from material conditioning, that's when real understanding and realization of Krishna takes place. And then that ecstatic emotion, transcendental emotion of the awakened soul, condenses into prem bhakti. So here we see Arjuna, he's realizing the position of Krishna and he's becoming ecstatic. And like he's saying, he is confirming this according to Asita, Deva, Vyas, the confirming, according to the Mahajans, the Sadhus, the great Uttamadhikaris, they are saying this, and now you are confirming this to me. So then yesterday's sloka, "O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality." So this is a statement that should not be misunderstood, the devotees or demons cannot understand you, so you may think that. No, he's explaining the meaning of that in today's sloka. You see at the beginning, indeed you alone know yourself by your internal potency. So in the sloka before this, Krishna says, or rather Arjuna, I totally accept, neither demigods nor the demons can understand your personality. So therefore, though the devotee at Bhava Bhakti, and earlier also, will gain realization of Krishna, that full realization of Krishna, we are dealing with Ananta. Krishna is Ananta, he is unlimited. So this is the meaning that should be understood from the previous verse. You cannot fully understand Krishna because Krishna is unlimited. However, you can understand Krishna to the extent where you become ecstatically devoted to Krishna. And through that ecstatic devotion, you will eternally realize Krishna more and more. Huh? So there's no point at which realization of Krishna will come to an end. One will always be realizing Krishna because Krishna is unlimited. So this important point. But the aim of bhakti is not just to realize Krishna in terms of knowledge and facts and figures. That would mean jnana mishra bhakti. Jnana mishra bhakti means that bhakti there, devotion to the Supreme Lord is there, but it is mixed, mishra, with an attempt to gain knowledge. Whereas the devotee, pure devotee, this has been exemplified by Lord Chaitanya, his idea is just to serve Krishna and Krishna's pleasure. He's not attempting to serve Krishna for some fruit. I want to gain knowledge of Krishna. And then there is also Kama Mishra Bhakti. I'm worshipping the Supreme Lord because I want some fruit. And Karma Mishra Bhakti implies that some material fruit. I'm doing the bhajan of Krishna. I want to go to Swargaloka or Tapaloka, Mahaloka. I want to go to Satchaloka. So, especially the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they understand that the goal of bhakti is not to gain any fruit, satisfaction of one's desire for knowledge or some material fruit, but rather the satisfaction of Krishna and Krishna's devotees through one's bhakti. So that is the purity of pure devotion. It is unmotivated. Anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karmani anavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttamam. So that is Rupa Goswami's definition of pure bhakti. Anyabhilashita sunyam. Anyabhilashita means hankering for some material thing. Huh? Anyabhilashita. I want this, I want that. Huh? I want dhanam, janam, I want status, sundarim, I want the beautiful sensual things of life. These are the divisions that Lord Chaitanya has made. If you have wealth, then you will get followers, then you can enjoy life in so many sensual ways. So Lord Chaitanya has rejected that. But I just want your bhakti, even janmani janmani ishvari. Even birth after birth. So there's no anyabhilashita. Jnana karmadi anavritam means also I don't want just some academic knowledge, we can say, some realization of Krishna, or I don't want to merge into your Brahman effulgence, or I don't want to merge into your form as Narayan. So these are the aspirations of people who don't have proper Siddhanta. You may desire, as Prabhupada said in today's purport, the Supreme Lord is in three phases as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So Prabhupada explains that this is just like looking at a train in the distance, in the night. You see a light, so that's like Brahman. Then as the train comes closer, you see, as the light comes closer, you see it's a train. So you're getting more realization of what that light is. So Prabhupada explained that's like a Paramatma realization. There is form, whereas before it was just a light. And then as the train comes very close, perhaps passing you by, you see inside the train, and you see the passengers, and they're discussing and talking and walking about in the train. So that is like Bhagavan realization. So first the impersonal idea, light is there, then form and personality, Paramatma, and then Bhagavan, the Leela of Krishna. So persons without good Siddhanta or good instruction, they may think, yes, I'll worship Krishna to merge into the Brahman. That is the Mayavadis, they have four sadhanas. And one of them is Haritoshina. This is explained in Jiva Dharma, that they worship Hari. That means Krishna, or the Supreme Lord, who takes away everything, for the purpose of pleasing him. And then once he's pleased, they want to merge into the impersonal. Because they may have the understanding, mistaken as it is, that Krishna has emanated from the impersonal. And by interaction with the material energy in the mode of goodness, he is appearing as Vishnu and appearing as avatar. But behind Krishna and Vishnu, there is the Brahman. So of course, the Vaishnavas and all the Shastra explains that the Supreme Person is the source of Paramatma and Bhagavan. These are not, the impersonal Brahman is not the source of these things. And that is simple logic. If the Absolute Truth is impersonal, how can he be the source of personality? So, Haritoshana, they worship Krishna in this idea, and then I will eventually merge into the Brahman. Also, they explain, Prabhupada explains on discussion on the Nectar of Devotion, he says that this Mayavadi idea is very terrible. They worship the Guru like a ladder. And then once they have come up to the position they want, they kick the ladder away. That means they're kicking the Guru away. I have become the Supreme, I no longer need the Guru. I'm giving up the service to Guru because I have become Brahman. So these are obviously offensive and bad attitudes. So, jnana karmadi anavritam. Karma means the same thing. So three things Rupa Goswami says. You shouldn't hanker for some material fruit. You shouldn't desire monistic liberation, merging into the Supreme. Nor should you desire mystic powers. This is also under the level of karma. Because, yes, Brahman, Paramatma. Paramatma is generally the meditation of the yogis. Paramatma is Krishna's expansion to govern the material energy and the karma. So, by meditating on different aspects of Paramatma, you can develop certain mystic powers. This is also explained in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. For example, as it's stated there, that if you meditate on Krishna as Vasudev, one who lives everywhere and in every phase of time, then you can gain knowledge of the future and the past, because you're meditating upon that aspect of Krishna. So whatever aspect you meditate upon, of Paramatma and his power over the material energy, by that meditation, you can gain that siddhi, that power. Let's describe that. But these are considered useless. So the devotees, they don't hanker for those things. What is bhakti? After Rupa Goswami says that, he says, anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama, that bhakti is simply a favorable mood towards Krishna. Krishnanu shilanam. Just like the mother is well disposed to the child, she has favorable mood. You have a friend, you're favorably disposed. You're sympathetic, empathetic. So the devotee and bhakti, and this is very simple to understand, is devoted to Krishna out of a simple affection, sneha. About, according to ecstatic emotion, is attracted to Krishna in that way, just favorably. So everybody in the spiritual world is favorably disposed. Incidentally, if you read the Priti Sandarbha of Jiva Goswami, also in the Nectar of Instruction, there's a good translation of the slokas by Banu Swami, that he's explaining there that yes, some people actually, they go to the Vaikunthas. It's very interesting. And they serve Narayan, and they have two desires, Sukheshwarya and Aishwarya. They want to, they do perform bhakti, and they want the opulence of the spiritual world. So not only do you have people that may be worshipping Bhagavan for the power or siddhis in the material world, yogic siddhis, or material fruit, danam janam sundarim, and also merging into the absolute impersonal. But some people worship Krishna not for some impersonal liberation or some material perfection, but they also worship because they want Sukheshwar, that Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami explain. Because they want to live in the opulence of Vaikuntha, which is far beyond the opulence of anything in the material world. So they take birth in the Vaikuntha lokas, and they may have the form of Narayan, and they live in great opulence, but they are still devoted to Narayan. So it's very interesting. That though they want great opulence, Narayan fulfills them, that idea, in the transcendental abode. And then there's those that worship Narayan or Krishna for sukha, that means the happiness. They hear, in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, it describes the kingdom of God, and it's generally a description of the Vaikuntha position. The description of Goloka, of course, is in the 10th canto. So they want to go there, and they've heard about the bliss, how everyone in the transcendental world is experiencing great bliss, unlimited bliss, more than we can imagine. There are statements in the Upanishads, in the purports of Baladeva Vibhushan, and it explains that like a young prince on this earthly planet, this is in the Upanishads, one unit of pleasure, the kingdom is peaceful, his father is ruling the kingdom, and he's enjoying as a prince. Not nowadays. Nowadays democracy is in charge, but in the old days, the big Maharaj, you know, with silk cloth woven with silver and gold and all the opulence of the, and all the dancing girls and all the courtiers, and right, you can watch the Hollywood Bollywood movies and get some hint. It's explained like that when the British came here. You know, they also the Portuguese, they landed in Goa, and they saw the opulence of the Maharajas. You know, they arrived in little wooden boats, you know, from England and or Portugal, and they saw the opulence. The king would invite them, yes, so on and so forth. So they thought, wow, this is nothing. What we have in Europe is nothing compared to this. Look at these palaces and the music and the artistry. So anyway, a prince, the Upanishad explains, is like one unit of pleasure. And then it explains that if you live as a Gandhava, which is just above earthly region, the heavenly singers and music, they're like 100 units. And then the siddhas, 100 units of that Gandhava pleasure. And then it goes up to Swargaloka, goes through all the different levels of lokas, and then it goes up to Lord Brahma, and he's 100 times the other one, you know. So it's going, so you're going up to 1 billion times the pleasure, of course, it's not precisely, of the prince on the earth, right? So he's like, Lord Brahma, like, from his power and position and the residence of the heavenly planets above Swargaloka, there's Mahalok, Gyanalok, Tapalok, so different lokas of different great sages, and they are meditating in great ecstasy upon the Supreme Lord. So their pleasure is billions of times in the pleasure felt by one prince, right? We think, oh, we'd like to be one of the Rothschilds or something, and like a prince upon earth and enjoying everything. But as Prabhupada says, you can have $1 trillion, but you can only eat 6 chapatis a day. If you eat more, you'll get sick. So, of course, if you eat the chapatis here, if you can only eat 2. But anyway, I hope they change the oil a bit. Anyway, the thing is that we think, oh, I'd like to enjoy on this, I'd like to, you know, win the lottery and enjoy or something, those hankerings maybe there. But Lord Brahma is nothing, but then Lord Brahma, his happiness as being the ruler of the universe, the ultimate authority, that is nothing compared to the happiness of the residents of the Narayan Lokas, the Vaikuntha Lokas. And that happiness, there is nothing compared to the residents of Golok. So, you cannot even compare the happiness. So people hear these things and they want, oh, let me become a devotee. So, they are also satisfied. They actually go to the Vaikunthas, and they may stay in the body of Narayan. You can read Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It explains all these different gradations. It's very interesting. And but don't desire these things. You're under the shelter of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada. So Lord Chaitanya, in the middle of Kali Yuga, is giving access to Golok Vrindavan and the highest ecstasy. And so that highest ecstasy is for the people who are completely unmotivated. And that is the essence of prem. Unmotivated for themselves, and the highest expression of that unmotivated behavior is the gopis, the manjaris. They, when they hear the flute song of Krishna in ecstasy, oh Krishna, what? Let us go to see Krishna. But they're not thinking, let us go to see Krishna so we can enjoy. Let us go to Krishna. Let us go in the hear the flute song of Krishna for his pleasure. And so we know that in the Rasleela, Krishna disappeared, right? So they were lamenting, the gopis. And they, oh my God, Krishna's disappeared. But they were not lamenting that we have lost Krishna for our pleasure, but now we're unable to serve. You must understand this. It's very important. They're not lamenting because now we can't enjoy with Krishna. No, but now we're not able to serve Krishna. So this very important point. that the actual ecstasy of the soul is found in service, not in self-service. That is the mistake of the material world. Everyone has inverted their natural role as service to themselves. So therefore they exploit all relationships and the material facilities for their own enjoyment, as what they perceive to be their enjoyment. And therefore they only get a little flickering pleasure. In the Bhagavatam, it is explained that this is just like the deer or the that runs after a mirage in the desert. But it's getting some anticipation of pleasure. And even in the desert, there may be one drop of dew in the morning, and the deer licks up that drop of water, but is in the desert, and his desire is never fulfilled. I was just listening to lecture this afternoon, and Prabhupada says that everyone in the material world, they want the nice things. And you can even say that about Mahalok, Gyanalok, Tapalok, Swargalok. They all want to enjoy, but there's no satisfaction. Because the soul actually is made for unlimited enjoyment. It's not made for just a few drops of water. Huh? If you're in the desert, or floating on the Pacific Ocean, on a lifeboat, if I give you a drop of water, you'll take it. But will you be satisfied? So, this is an important point to understand this, because then we can become renounced, we can practice vairag, if we understand that actually this material environment is alien. So anyway, these things are offered in the Shastra. You can worship Krishna. But the devotees of Lord Chaitanya don't worship Krishna for those fruits. They worship Krishna for his pleasure and the pleasure of Krishna's devotees. So this is the ultimate purity. And this is what has been taught by Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, the six Goswamis. They have brought this unmotivated bhakti forward. So here we see Arjuna, he's representing the sadhaka, and he is realizing Krishna from this material platform, right? You are Purushottama. You're the Supreme Person, Purushottama. So that's his first point. You're the origin of everything. So this is natural, just like in India, especially if you have a Western body, people say, where you come from? Right? Especially if you travel around, not so much in Vrindavan, but even in Vrindavan, what will they say? Where you come from? You know, if you live in India, you get asked 1 million times a year or something. Where you come from? Where are you? What's your origin? Right? It means that, right? Well, and then what's your family? It's natural, right? Just like if you see a painting on the wall, it's called the Mona Lisa. Who painted it? Where it came from? Krishna didn't paint the Mona Lisa. But the point, well, in one sense, he's a doer of everything. But the thing is, it's natural, is it not? When people ask me, where you come from? I say, here and there. Here and there. Where's that? Where's that? Well, it's here and there. Actually, there's a discourse in the Bhagavatam, you know, so, you know, I think it's in the 8th canto, right? You know, there's this, and there's a great, somebody asked that to the Prachetas, I think, or something. And they say, your question has no meaning. Where do you come from? If you mean this, you know. You can also say, where you come from? I often say, that side. From behind me. Yeah. Oh, that side. Oh. Same as you. say, I come from there and... You can say, well, actually, Krishna is the origin of all, and I come from Krishna, just like... Anyway, here and there is a good one. Or that side. I came from over there. But anyway, so it's a natural inquiry. Where do you come from? Right? So what is the origin of this universe? Right? It is natural. And at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, right, it says Janmadyasyata. And also the Vedanta Sutra, right, it says Atato Brahma Jignas, now that you're in the human form, inquire about Brahman. And then it says in the next loka, Atato Brahma Jignas. Janmadi Asyata. The absolute truth, that which is Brahman, is that from which everything has emanated. This is the first definition. And it's very comprehensive. And so, like we just quoted, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. And Prabhupada in lecture said, nobody else has ever said that. Huh? I am the source of everything. Huh? Even the Mayavadis don't go that far. They may say, actually, I'm God. But they never say, I'm the source of everything. Huh? Because everyone will go, what? You're the source of everything? You? You're a source of a load of BS. So the source. And that's also one of the basic ideas of scientific inquiry, isn't it? Where does the universe come from? A big bang. Oh, yeah. But actually... Don't talk about my parents like that. Anyway. So, the source of everything. That is a natural inquiry. Where do we come from? Right? So after that, where's your country? Where's your parentage? What's your family? Right? Source. So here, the inquiry is satisfied by Arjuna. He's accepted. And as Prabhupada said in the purport, did you see that when we're reading the purport? It's very consecutive. Purushottam, Supreme Person, Bhuta Bhavana. So this is a restatement of Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. Bhuta, Panchamahabhuta. Bhuta means entity or element, but it means everything in this. Bhavana, bhavaning, born from. And then, everything has come from Krishna. Bhuta Ishwara, Lord of everything. So, not only is Krishna the source of everything, but he is also the controller, Bhuta Ishwara. It's not that he's the source of everything, and now he's lost control of it. You understand? Like your mother and father may be the source of you, but they haven't got control of you, right? To some extent, but you are independent. You know, I'm not doing that. I'm not washing the dishes. Anyway, but Krishna is the ultimate controller. And of course we know there are certain man-made religions say you should conquer the world for God. But actually, no, it's already conquered. Where did you get this idea? You have to conquer the world for God. God is all, if he's God, he's already in control. Right? He doesn't need your help. This is a simple point. Especially the way you're conquering it. There's going to be nothing left. Blowing it all up. Anyway. So Bhuta Isha. Isha means controller. So he's the source of it. He's the Supreme Person. He's Bhagavan, source of Paramatma, but he's source of everything. Then he's a controller of everything. And then Deva, is it correct? Yes. He's the Lord of the demigods. So that's very important, because some people may say, the demigods are controlling the universe. But Arjuna said first, he's the controller, so he's the controller of the devas. Aham hi adi devanam, I'm the source of the demigod. So the demigods are empowered by Krishna to control different department heads. Just like you have a government, you have the prime minister, who is the ultimate controller. Then you have the finance department, the roads department, and so on and so forth, foreign department, defense department. So the demigods are empowered. And that prime minister, he can remove the lower ministers. So that's a material example. But they are great devotees, the demigods. But just like we were saying, they have some desire to serve Krishna in this capacity. So Krishna fulfills that. Yetam mam prapajante. All of them, as they surrender, I reward accordingly. Deva devanam. And jagat pate. So, pati, jagat pate, lord of the entire universe. That's a reference. Pati means father. So, he is the source of everything, controller, source of all the demigods. But Arjuna at the end says jagat pate. So, he's the father of the universe. So, that means he's well disposed. So, this is a very important point. Just like if you paint the Mona Lisa, or you cook some food, you think that's a very nice thing, do you not? Just like you have children, you think, my children are better than those over there. They're snotty, horrible things. But my children are so sweet and darling-like. Right? So what you create, you have a natural affection for. Right? Your daughter comes back from school. Look, I made a nice picture. Isn't it beautiful, Daddy? So yes, take down the Mona Lisa. Put it there. And so if you love that person, you love the creation. Do you not? Right? Your daughter brings a picture, and that picture is more beautiful to you than the Mona Lisa. You sell it in the market. I'll take 100 rupees. But this one I'll never sell, because this is given to me with love and devotion. So jagat pate means that Krishna is the father of the creation. So this is, yesterday we were talking about how Krishna is neutral. But we should understand, didn't get time to say it in the Bhagavatam class, but that neutrality means that he's even-handed and equipoised. But he is affectionately disposed. This is, we can understand. In the man-made religions, they may say God is, you know, an angry and a vengeful God and he's sending you to hell and all this. No, that is the wrong picture. He's naturally affectionate and well-disposed, right? Just like if you have children.
Yes.
So you're well-disposed to them. Even if they don't wash the dishes. So, right? And even if you say you invite your friend round, they say your own cooking is always delicious, right? So you invite your friend, who's always delicious, isn't it? He's, I'm bringing my own food. Next time I come, I'll bring some of my own sandwiches. But it was delicious. I burnt the rice naturally and the sabji. Who needs ghee in a sabji anyway? It's delicious. What do you mean you don't? Don't you want more? No. But so whatever you cook is the most delicious food, is it not? To a certain point. But because you are the origin of it, in that sense, you are the creator. So the Supreme Lord, yes, he's even-handed, Samaham Sarvabhuta, he's very kindly disposed to everyone. Huh? So it means not in an impersonal way, because Arjuna is your jagat pate, you are the father and well-disposed to everyone. Huh? So this is an important point. Krishna is not a vengeful or hateful personality. Those are man-made projections from the conditioned souls. They are malicious, and so therefore they impose their malicious and envious ideas upon God. And then God appears like that. Yetam mam prapadyante. But from the Shastra and from Arjuna here, we see that Krishna is jagat pate, he's well disposed and lovingly disposed to his creation. And we can understand it's a natural function. Right? So this is Arjuna's ecstatic realization. You'll read more tomorrow. Oh, but the other point is here, Swayam. Only you know yourself. So this point is also there. Swayam, your own internal potency, Prabhupada translates. So only Srimati Radharani, you can say, knows Krishna. She knows Krishna most. But it's also explained in the Shastra. You see, we know Tattva in scientific knowledge, logical knowledge. And we are studying Siddhanta and using logic and argument. Everything is explained. Krishna says that. Everything in Vedanta Sutra is according to logic and argument. But we should understand, and that is good for us in the period of sadhana. But ultimately, the absolute truth transcends mundane logic. Huh? He is beyond, it is his creation, but the absolute truth, this ecstatic interchange between the Lord and his devotees, this is ultimately beyond logic and argument. Huh? It is in the realm of rasa-tattva. So therefore, Jiva-dharma, you should all read Jiva-dharma. Prabhupada recommends it. Tattva is very important to understand. Sambandha-gyan, Abhideya-gyan, Parayojan-tattva, Mukunda-tattva, condition of liberation. That is the fourth section in the Vedanta Sutra. Why? Because that position of ecstatic liberation in praying bhava is beyond logic and argument. Huh? Where Krishna is under yoga maya and forgets himself as the Supreme Lord and enters into, we discussed in Bhagavatam two classes ago, how Krishna is mukta. He's captivated, enchanted in his leela. He doesn't think, I'm the Supreme Lord acting as Varahadeva. No, he actually enters into that mood and feels himself as Varahadeva. And therefore he searches for the earth planet as a hog would search. Like you see in Vrindavan, they search for different things here and there, using their own particular abilities. So Krishna enters into Leela, not from the point of view of Sava-gyan, knowing everything, I am Narayan. No, he enters into Leela, forgetting his status, in a sense, forgetting his status as the Supreme Lord. And his devotees also enter into Leela, forgetting that he is the Supreme Lord. And this is the special revelation and stress of Lord Chaitanya and the Six Goswamis, to give us that understanding that yes, while we are studying in the period of sadhana, we study all the tattva with logic and argument, but we should progress to the point. And this is what Arjuna is now feeling. He's in this section. Don't read this particular section of Arjuna's ecstasy as like dry philosophy. Because that ecstasy is the way of understanding the realm of Golok, which is beyond all logic and argument. Hint is given. But logic and argument, they sit down on the side there. Because logic and argument and philosophy and so on and so forth, that is the creation of the Supreme Lord. It is his plaything. He is not bound by it. Huh? Just in the same way, you cannot use material instruments to find the Supreme Lord. You ultimately, the Bhagavatam starts with you'll find in the first chapter, that words shrink back from the absolute truth. They cannot fully encapsulate. Just like an infant child, they do not think in words. They are learning words, mummy, daddy, but in the beginning of their life, they do not think in verbal terms, but eventually they start. So the super, the ecstasy of the transcendental realm is the means of understanding that realm and interacting with that realm. Therefore, that is the highest stage of bhakti, bhava bhakti and prem bhakti. And that is where the real understanding and revelation of Krishna appears, when the soul comes to the stage of bhava bhakti. And we see here in these ecstatic utterances of Arjuna, that Arjuna, by the realization of Krishna's tattva, he is coming to the ecstatic platform. So just like Vaidhi Bhakti leads to attraction, so attraction to Krishna leads to ecstasy. And ecstasy leads to more realization of Krishna. And that leads to the fulfillment of prema. So Arjuna is in this ecstatic condition, and he's realizing Krishna in that way. And that's what these slokas are about. But at the same time, scientific tattva is there. O Krishna, O supreme mystic, how shall I constantly think of you? How shall I know you? In what various forms are you to be remembered, O supreme personality of Godhead? That's 17. 16. Please tell me in detail your divine opulences by which you pervade all these worlds. So he's ecstatically attracted to Krishna, and he wants to understand Krishna more and more. So the sign of bhava bhakti is exactly that. It is an ecstatic anxiety to contemplate and know more about the object of love. So we'll finish on that point. Any question? You will enjoy your question because you'll be the origin of the question. Right? We're always proud, isn't it? Even we think something, oh, that was a brilliant idea. My question is better than your question. Yes, go on.
I always have to express. Always have the expression that God also releases that anger, but Krishna also releases that terminal.
That angry mood, like killing all living entities. Like if you read the Old Testament,
you always have the understanding.
Yeah, that understanding. Like if you read the Old Testament, it's all the time he's saying to King David or whatever to kill all those pagans,
And wipe
also
out the residents of Magog and do the. Yeah.
But also Parasurama was killing so many kshatriyas.
Well, we don't put much credence on the accuracy of these man-made scriptures.
But also Parasurama was killing all these kshatriyas.
Yes.
So it's also my point is that isn't it that he's releasing all the different things going on in even in the material world.
Your point is what?
Krishna is of course the loving exchange is the best one. For, it's the most relishable. But I mean, even like killing living entities or making them suffer in so many ways, it's also in a way relishable. I mean, it's also a taste for him.
Oh. Well,
there is so many sufferings anyways in the world.
Yes,
of course, we made it ourselves.
Yeah, well, for example, at the end of, well, actually, Yuga Sandhya, it's not at the end of Kali Yuga. Kalki appears at Yuga Sandhya. It means the junction of Kali Yuga and Satyuga. And everyone has descended into animalistic condition. So there are a few Brahman and devotees, because he is born in a specific family, it's even described in the Bhagavatam. But then Krishna, he rides a white horse, and he kills all the living entities, all the humanoid living entities. And it explained the sandalwood falls from his body, and the white horse is Baladev. And it purifies the earth from all the contamination, and then Satyuga starts. So, but if But what happens is, and this is explained on the Bhagavatam, that when Krishna kills in this way, and Krishna is Mrityu Sarva Harashya Aham, but if you get killed by Krishna in one of these incarnations, you become purified. You see? By the touch of that sword, all that material contamination is expunged. And the living entity enters into Susupti. He enters into a Brahman state. And then he may take birth again. But without all that contamination. So he becomes purified. So Krishna's... It's interesting when Hiranyakashipu is there, that's more complicated, because he was still taking birth as a human. But those that see that death as the Supreme Lord, they become purified. So if you see, for example, Hiranyakashipu, if you don't see that personality killing you as the Supreme Lord, you may take birth in different forms. But so that killing of the Supreme Lord is enacted from a position of mercy. He's purifying those living entities. So the Supreme Lord, his anger is not the anger of an envious person, but it is like the anger of a father that wants to correct his children. And by correcting them, by slaughtering them all at the end of Kali Yuga, that purifies them. As you mentioned, Parashuram, that's different. The Kshatriyas had, he was the son of Janmajogni, I think, one great sage. And the Kshatriyas killed his father and robbed him of one Karmadenu. So Parashuram, 21 generations, defeated the Kshatriyas. So, if offenses are made against a devotee, then especially a Mahabhagavat, great sage, like the father of Parashuram, then the effect goes into that generation, generation after generation. So what Parashuram is actually, one aspect is, he's showing that don't make offenses against powerful devotees, because your whole dynasty and lineages will be destroyed. In the same way, if you make service and help to these great Mahabhagavats, then your lineage will be protected and flourish. So there's many aspects, but we should be very careful to think, and your question is good, but we should understand that when Shaktivesh avatars and Krishna is killing, he's not killing out of mundane maliciousness, enviousness. You understand? He's killing from the position of transcendence. And so that killing purifies the living entities.
Yeah, but it's also sport for him, isn't it? It's
Leela, Leela. Leela means it's enacted from transcendence, position of transcendence. So yes, he is entering into the Leela and enjoying chastising the murderer of his, that great devotee. So he's entering in the Leela and enjoying in that way, because he is Purushottam. But Swayam, to understand Krishna's mood and personality in enacting these leelas, we should be careful not to transpose material emotions from our conditioned state onto that. Do you see the point? We should understand Krishna on his terms, not through our lenses, if you like. You understand? So, therefore, like Arjuna here, he's realizing Krishna as the source of everything. And as he realizes Purushottam, then he's starting to realize Purushottam's point of view. You understand? You're the source of everything. You're the controller. You're the controller of all the demigods. You're the father of the universe. You understand? He's starting to realize the status of Krishna and how Krishna views. So with that realization, then we can look more into the Leela of Krishna, that they're enacted not through material emotion, but through transcendental. And because Krishna is Pavitram Uttamam, the purest, whatever he does is purifying ultimately. But it's also, if you read Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains actually that Parashuram Leela, Parashuram was son of Brahmana. I think his father was a great sage living in the ashram. And Parashuram is even criticized because actually as a Brahmin he should have followed Brahminical Dharma and tolerated and remained equipoised and seen it as the mercy of the Lord. But he followed Kshatriya Dharma and enacted, you know, punishment. So it is explained there that that caused the break between the Kshatriya caste and the Brahminical caste. It's all in Shikshamrita. And from that, then Kali Yuga. You see, Kali Yuga, you see, the natural function of government is that the Kshatriya, the government function, should be guided by Brahmins. But the Brahmins, what is a Brahmin? Brahmana Janati Brahman. The real business of the Vaishnava Brahman is to be in full realization of the Absolute Truth. And then, with that realization, he can guide the Kshatriyas. And the Kshatriyas are meant to govern with that guidance. But the Brahmins are not meant to be in management per se. But the Kshatriyas do that under the guidance. Because Kshatriya means Ishwarabhav, is in the Gita, 18th chapter. They want to control. But they, to stop them controlling from a materialistic function, they should follow the advice of the Brahmins. So by Parashuram, by enacting Kshatriya Dharma in Kshatriya, this caused a break between the Brahminical and Kshatriya class. And this brought in Kali Yuga. So there's no other aspect to that Leela. Because in Kali Yuga, everyone, Kali Yuga, Sudra Sambhu, everyone is born with very low qualities or a tendency to low behavior. So if you have proper Kshatriyas and proper Brahmins, you can hold back Kali Yuga. And so the Bhagavatam starts, the false government people beating Dharma in the form of a bull. So that is traced back, in part, to the Leela of Parashuram. So you may say, oh, Parashuram is Shakti Vaishnava avatar of Krishna, why did he do that? So everything is ultimately the sport of Krishna. Krishna is bringing in Kali Yuga. Just like you can understand, at the time, 5,000 years ago, at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, India was the center of world culture. And Prabhupada, it's also, they came from all over the world for the battle of Kurukshetra. And they were all the great rulers, but they were all slaughtered. So then Kali Yuga comes. They were the reservoirs of all knowledge and culture, the great Kshatriyas. They were all, so to bring in Kali Yuga, they were all, that's one aspect, you see, the Krishna's Leela.
Krishna's own family.
Yes, well, he had to find some way of taking the Yadus back. That's also in the Bhagavatam. So, the understanding of Krishna's Leela has to be done from the position, Prabhupada touched it in the purport, that only the devotees can understand the Leela of Krishna and the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada, if you remember in the purport. So, those personalities that are transcendentally situated, and thus, in a sense, one in the consciousness with Krishna, they can look into the Leela and see the Leela. But you are initiated in the parampara, but those that are not initiated in parampara, they will go to the Vedic literatures and study the Sanskrit grammar and understand, oh, it's just mythology. They will not see it from the position of transcendence. So when we study the Leela of Krishna, like Parashuram, Kalki, and all Krishna's Leela, we have to see it from that position. Purusha Uttam. Uttama. Purush Uttam. Uttam means Uttama. Ut means above Tama, above ignorance, the ignorance of the material world. So he is the person who is above ignorance, above material ignorance. So those that are situated in material ignorance, they project their ignorance and analysis and their standards and qualities on the Leela of the Supreme Lord. You understand? So we should study the Leela of Krishna. That is the main practice of Rag Bhakti. We don't just follow rules and regulations, but we, within that format, we study the Leela of Krishna. And by studying that Leela of Krishna, we begin to see the transcendental quality of that Leela. So the devotees situated in knowledge, renunciation, through bhakti, they see the Leela of Krishna. And therefore Prahlad Maharaj, he's looking at Nrisimhadev, but he's not disturbed. This is the manifestation of Krishna's anger. And as we see in today's verse, Krishna is the source of everything. So he's the source of anger, he's the source of love, he's the source of everything. But we have to see it from his position. When we become angry, it's on the basis of selfishness. You see? But Krishna enacts Leela on behalf of his devotees. Paritranaya sarunam. Vinasha to duskritam. Rama samstapanathaya. So, in the fourth chapter, to protect the devotees, to destroy the demons, and re-establish dharma. So the first thing Krishna says is, Paritranaya sadhana. So, for example, Nrisimhadev, his main concern is to protect Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. So his first program is to always protect those who've taken shelter. So that is also a means to understand the Leela. So we have to, the more we become situated in transcendence, the more we will see Krishna's Leela with clear vision. And how do we do that? We study the words of the Acharyas, we perform sadhana, bhakti, to purify. And then we get insight by great. Krishna says here, right? Jnana Deepena Bhashvata. I destroy ignorance with the shining lamp of knowledge. So in the beginning of bhakti, it's very important, like we say, to get Siddhanta, Sambandha Jnana, philosophical understanding from the great Acharyas. Then we become situated in transcendental vision. Of course, I'm not saying that you're saying that Parashuram was mundanely angry. But this is the high, important point. So when he's enjoying Leela, he's enjoying it from transcendence. But ultimately, yes, he's enjoying. He is Purushottam. He's supreme, Paramparush. He's the supreme enjoyer. So the whole creation, material or spiritual, is the sporting ground of Krishna. But the element that we have to understand that all his leela is enacted for the benefit of all. Even when he's Kalki, slaughtering everybody on the planet. They're all becoming purified and now Satya Yuga. They may be born in Satya Yuga as great sages. Just like on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, some millions were killed. But they all gained liberation by being in the company of Krishna. And there's also mention in Mahabharata, some people thought, I will fight with Krishna. And by being killed, I'll get liberation. So they deliberately fought with Krishna on that basis. It's a different form of sadhana. Not recommended. Okay, we'll finish on this point. Huh? All right, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Remember now, even though you love your own cooking, cook properly. Thank you very much, ma'am.